A beautiful Lord's Day we have, not just with the sunshine and weather outside, but the opportunity, the privilege we have to worship God in spirit and in truth, to surround ourselves with those of like precious faith. We have a number who are visiting with us. We're glad that you are here, thankful for whatever it is that has brought you our way. I hope that you could stay around after services and let us get to know you a little bit better, visit with you a little bit more. Want to encourage you to open your Bible to the 31st chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. If you're with us today and you're not a Christian, maybe you don't have your Bible with you, we have pew Bibles. If you would like to follow along, we encourage you to do so. We're on page 1029 in the pew Bible, if you would like to follow along there. But we are going to be reading the text as the very end of the book of Proverbs gives us this beautiful picture of the virtuous wife. Let's read the text first, and then we will make some comments and draw some points from the text. Let's read Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. We know some people in our world today like to criticize and even reject the Bible for numerous reasons. For some, it is because the Bible appears to suppress and subjugate women. Women are to be in submission to men. That is, the wives are to be in submission to their husband. The Bible stresses motherhood and homemaking. And there are restricted roles for the women in the church. And so all of these things combining together, they are very, very unacceptable to people in our modern world today. But the Bible, if you will read it honestly, you will see that the Bible actually exalts and honors women. This is clearly seen when you contrast the teaching of the Bible to the religions and the customs of its own day. God's ways are perfect. God's ways are always the best way. What we have in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is a poetic summary of the best way for a woman to live and the best way for a woman to be encouraged and allowed to live. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to his sons, in which he encouraged them to avoid the pitfalls of life by pursuing wisdom. Early in the book, especially in chapters 5, 6, and 7, attention is given to avoiding the ungodly woman. A contrast here at the very end of the book is a glowing description of the godly woman. What I want to do in this study, instead of going through and looking at some of the characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman and seeing the standard that women are to meet, to measure themselves up to, instead I want to focus differently. I would like for us to take from the text five things that a godly wife has a right to expect or a right to receive. Let's talk about the rights of the virtuous wife. Let's talk about the rights of the Proverbs 31 woman. Number one, a godly wife has a right to be trusted. That was mentioned early on in this section. Look at verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. No relationship can be maintained or can prosper without mutual trust. Now, this passage pictures an industrious wife who takes care of the home while her husband is away. He can turn his back away from the house, and he can tend to responsibilities that he has without worrying about what's going on back at home, because he knows that his wife will take care of those responsibilities. And she does. The Proverbs 31 woman takes care of the home. Everything in the home is kept running. It is kept in order. Look at verse 27 in our text. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That is her focus. That is her responsibility. Watching over that, taking care of that, making sure that everything functions, everything is done properly. That's one of the responsibilities that has been given to the wife. Let's step away from Proverbs 31. We're always going to come back to the text in our study today, so you may find it convenient to place a marker there. But let's look at some other passages as well. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. The older women likewise. Here are instructions that the evangelist is to give to the congregation, and then here to specific demographics in the congregation, specific groups within the congregation. The older women need to be taught this. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So they're to be teachers, the older women are. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Where does the Proverbs 31 woman learn how to watch over her household and to make sure everything does what it's supposed to do? From the older women in the congregation. Those who know how to do that are to admonish and teach the younger to do that. The Proverbs 31 woman, the godly wife, has a right to be trusted because she takes care of the home, because she takes care of the children. The children aren't neglected. They are clothed, they are fed, they are cared for. Back to Proverbs 31, verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. There's no worry, because the husband trusts her with the finances. She is proactive and she is industrious and she makes good decisions with money. Look at verses 13 through 16 in our text. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You know, that's one way you could look at your next trip to Kroger. I'm going on a merchant ship, and I'm going to go to foreign lands, and I'm going to gather up everything I need for my house and get it brought back to my house. There's a biblical view at shopping there. If you need that this week, you've got it there. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profits. She plants a vineyard. So she's proactive. She's industrious. She even engages in her own business and takes care of that. There's nothing wrong, nothing sinful with a wife working outside the home, provided she's not neglecting the responsibilities that God has given her in the home. Now, I'll hit the pause button right here. The first time I ever preached on this passage was a long, long time ago before Christy and I were even married. And of course, I knew everything about it back then. And I remember preaching the text, and afterwards I was talking with members after the services were over, and a young couple, they were a few years older than me, but they were young. I remember the wife looking to her husband while I was in earshot. She said from verse 15, "And where are my maidservants?" So this is poetry. This is poetry, so we have to draw the proper things from this. If that's going to work in your house, all right. But notice, even with the maidservants, the Proverbs 31 woman, the godly wife, is taking care of her responsibilities. She's a hard worker. Verse 13, she willingly works with her hands. There's dignity in work. There's shame and idleness. And that's taught all through the book of Proverbs. So when we get to chapter 31, we know all about that already. She works. She works. She is diligent. Love demands trust. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we have agape love spelled out for us so very well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Love trusts the person that it loves. Husbands, if you love your wife, you trust her. A wife who has proven herself to be faithful has earned the right to be trusted. That is a right that the Proverbs 31 woman has. Secondly, our text shows us that she has a right to be honored. Notice how the honor is bestowed upon this godly woman. At the very beginning in verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies." She is a treasure. She's a treasure. She's more valuable. Her worth, if you're going to put her on the scale, her worth is far above rubies, plural. Forget about going and finding that one precious gemstone, cutting it, polishing it, having it put in a setting, and giving that to the wife as a ring. No, not one stone, many rubies. She's worth more than that. She's the most valuable treasure that you have, your wife is. She is a treasure. Secondly, she is adorned in the virtues of strength and honor. Verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come." So she's got strength, not just the physical strength. She's got the spiritual strength, the emotional strength. She's got that dignity as well. That's another word for honor some translations use. She's clothed in dignity, the way she carries herself, the way she loves her husband and loves her children, the way she is a wife and a mother, a neighbor, a citizen. She's adorned with strength and dignity. Verses 28 and 29, she is honored by her children and by her husband. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Notice here that the husband is aware that there are other women, but you excel them all. You are above all of them. You are the prize. You are the treasure. Notice, the Proverbs 31 woman is not taken for granted, but she's appreciated and praised. She isn't treated like a servant. She is honored as a queen. Verses 30 and 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Notice this woman is praised by her husband, by her children, by others. Not because of her beauty, which may possibly be there. Not because of her charm, which no doubt is there. That's a part of what makes her a godly woman, part of what makes her a treasure. No doubt that is present. But what the husband knows is most valuable and is most beautiful is the heart and the character of his wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Peter says to wives, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. And notice right here, Peter isn't saying it's wrong to do that, it's sinful to do that, don't do that. He says, let it not be merely that. That's not where the focus should go. Where should the focus really be? Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which are very precious in the sight of God. And apparently in Proverbs 31 is also very present, very precious in the sight of her husband. Because he praises her, he honors her because of her heart, because of her character, because she fears the Lord. And we'll have more to say about that as we continue with our study. Good women are sometimes taken for granted by those who benefit from their love and their labor the most. If we ever find that we are guilty of that shameful thing, we must repent, and we must seek forgiveness from God and from those Proverbs 31 women in our lives. Connected with honor, the godly wife also has a right to be respected. Verses 22 and 23 of our text, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, I believe that the godly wife, the Proverbs 31 woman, has it within her to live in a humble means without complaint. In Philippians chapter 4, we read here of Paul and how he had learned to be content in whatever state he was in. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that verse gets lifted out of this context and applied to any number of things. Last thing I want to do is to join the group in doing that. But I do want to make the application from what Paul says about himself. And what he is saying is, I can serve the Lord and I can do the work that the Lord gave me in whatever circumstances I'm in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But make the application of this to the godly wife, to the Proverbs 31 woman. She can live even in the most humble of means if necessary. and she can do it without complaint. But coming back to our text, I would make this point. Although she can do it, and she will do it, she still has the right to live with dignity, even if she's living in humble means. The tapestry, coming back to our text, Proverbs 31, verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Some translations say coverings. And what it is, it's a type of pillow or a cushion on a bed. It would be a luxury item. And the fine linen and purple, that's not just clothing, that's costly clothing. Because of her wisdom and because of her diligence, she has earned the ability to have nice things for her home and herself if she so chooses. Let me say that again. Because of her diligence, because of her wisdom, she has earned the ability to have nice things for her home and herself if she so chooses. She has a right to that. Here's something else. Notice that her husband benefits from her wisdom and her diligence, as she does from his as well. But we're looking at Proverbs 31. We're looking at it from this perspective. He has dignity and he has respect when he is sitting among community leaders, when he is with the elders in the gate. What does that mean? That means that his wife is not taking away from his reputation. You know what? You're a good fellow and all, but your wife, you know, Ahab, he might have been a pretty good guy if it hadn't been for his wife Jezebel. She's not like that. The Proverbs 31 woman is not a Jezebel, not in any way at all. If anything, she's like Abigail, who brings honor and dignity to a worthless husband, if it be so. No, she is to be respected. We see this world giving respect to undeserving people for undeserving reasons. Godly women have earned the right to be respected. The Proverbs 31 woman has that right. Well, let's look also at the fact that the godly wife has a right to be secure. Let's go back to verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now, although it's not stated specifically anywhere in the text, the idea of security is certainly found in these verses. Neither she nor her husband nor her children are in need. They have everything that they need. Security is important to most people. Security is to be provided primarily by the husband. Let's think about this for just a moment. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, the husband is to be sure and be careful to love his wife in a very specific way. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Right here we see this is a sacrificial love. Gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So I learn here that it is a sacrificial love from which my wife will benefit. She benefits from the love that I give her. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. The love that I give to my wife is such that I am to provide for everything that she would need, to make sure that she has what she needs so that it is nourished, it's cherished, our love, our relationship, our marriage, and even her as an individual. The husband is to love his wife in such a way that she has absolutely no reason to worry about his faithfulness to her. She's earned that right. It was a good number of years ago when we lost one of the men of the congregation. And I remember a statement made by his new widow as we were going through the process of laying him to rest. She made the observation, in all of our years of marriage, he never once gave me a reason to suspect or fear that he was ever unfaithful to me. What a gift. What a blessing that is. Now that's love. That's love. To give that security in this kind of world that we live in today, what a blessing that is. He is to honor his wife in the way that he treats her. Back to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we looked at verses 3 and 4, that the inner beauty, that the inner person of the heart. Well, attention then is focused to the husband in verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What is it that the husband is to provide here? The husband is to provide security in the way that he treats his wife in the home. When the doors are shut, the windows are pulled, and no one sees and no one hears. The Proverbs 31 woman has absolutely no reason to submit to any kind of abuse from her husband, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever kind of abuse. You can imagine, sin has corrupted this world and brought with it all kinds of abuse that people have to endure. That should never come from a husband to his wife. Never. The Proverbs 31 wife has the right to be secure in her own home. And of course, the husband is the primary provider for the home. Doesn't mean that the wife can't work, shouldn't work. But the husband has that responsibility given by God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. As my mother told me a long time ago, if you can't support a wife, you have absolutely no business marrying one. Husbands are to be the providers. What does the Proverbs 31 woman have a right to? She doesn't have a right to be lazy and taken care of, but she has a right to be secure and to have security. We see that all through the text. And then finally, she has the right to rejoice. We'll look at verse 25 in our text. Proverbs 31, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. We saw that a few moments ago. Her strength, her dignity, that's her clothing. But notice, she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, kept in the context of the book of Proverbs, the godly wife will rejoice for the same reason that others rejoice in the book of Proverbs, because she has exercised wisdom instead of folly, because she has listened to the voice of wisdom, she has avoided the pitfalls of life, and because of that, she can rejoice. She's been diligent in taking care of her responsibilities. But I'm also aware that some of the newer translations, instead of saying rejoice, the New American Standard Version says that she smiles at the future. Picture that, if you would. Remember, this is poetry. Picture that. She smiles at the future. Sometimes we can picture the Proverbs 31 woman. She's done everything that she's done, and she can look back at the past and she can smile at what she has accomplished and how her family has benefited. Those that she loves the most have benefited. She can smile looking backwards, but no, the text says that she smiles looking forward. The English Standard Version says she laughs at the time to come. Laughs at the time to come. She has been diligent in providing for her household. Nothing has been wasted. The family is prepared and can survive in times of calamity. Let come what may, we're going to be okay. And the Proverbs 31 woman knows that. She has confidence in that so much she can smile and she can laugh. So that may be the application, or it may be that the times to come is eternity. And she can look and know that judgment is coming and eternity is coming, and she can smile and she can laugh because she knows that she has done the best she can to prepare herself, her children, her household for that great day that is coming. Why? Verse 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but this is a woman who fears the Lord. She fears the Lord, and so she's preparing her household for that day that she knows is coming. However you want to take that phrase there in verse 25, it fits. It fits. This world brings pain and disappointments, and not even the most virtuous godly women are shielded from such. However, working with her husband, this woman can take pleasure and satisfaction in what they have accomplished together. They can enjoy the fruits of their labors together, their marriage, their children, their friends, what they have done together in seeking first the kingdom of God, like Aquila and Priscilla. They can rejoice, they can smile, they can laugh at the life that they have built together. Proverbs, as we wrap this up, Proverbs begins with by pointing out the fear of the Lord and stressing the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And what follows chapter by chapter is a contrast between these two approaches to life. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't it interesting that the book of Proverbs ends in a beautiful way by cataloging the virtues of a woman who fears the Lord? That's at the bottom of everything with the Proverbs 31 woman, the godly wife, is that above all, she fears the Lord. Motivated by this great attitude toward God, she lives in such a way that she has a right to be trusted, honored, respected, made secure, and has many, many reasons to rejoice. May her tribe increase. And those of us who are blessed to have women like this in our lives have so very much to be thankful to God for. Let's thank Him for that. Appreciate your attention as we have studied together this morning, looking at a text that we go to from time to time, we look at from time to time, but especially as the calendar is such that we have mothers on our mind today, I thought it would be a good passage for us to study together today. Maybe you're here and you realize that your life is not right with God, that your inner heart is not focused on fearing God like the Proverbs 31 woman should be, or the corresponding man should be. Maybe God's not in the center of your heart and your life. He needs to be. Maybe you need to repent as an erring child of God, and you need to bring your life back into focus where God is that center point, that focal point in your life. Then repent and make those changes. Maybe you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God. We would implore you to become one. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then act on that faith by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized in water to have your sins washed away. Whatever your spiritual need is, we offer the invitation for you. Would you come as we stand and sing this song?